this is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 144 in a 260-chapter series of the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years. It follows the same format as the great historic series by Frank Fitzsimmons. We merely call this then where Fitz left off. The coming of the industrial age to Henderson County, starting with Cranston Print Works in 1950, and the announcement of the next industry to come to the area was the cause célèbre of the most elaborate banquet ever staged here. I believe that we've already mentioned Mr. James W. Jim Duff was the unpaid industrial expansion department of the Chamber of Commerce. The small budget of the chamber back in the 1950s barely covered the salaries of the general manager, Dave Cooley, and his assistants. But the fever and the sheer excitement of bringing in more industry and thousands of new jobs to the area got into Jim Duff's blood. He actually neglected his own business to work with any industrial prospect for this area. And as industrial recruiters know, confidentiality is the cardinal rule when dealing with the move or expansion of an industrial plant. So normally, until the very last minute, nobody other than Jim Duff would even know the identity of any product he might be closing in on. And while Jim had experienced some modest successes after landing Cranston with smaller operations in the interim, it was 5 years later, February 5th, 1955, when fanfares resembling a violent thunderstorm in midsummer occurred when Jim Duff and Dave Cooley, aboard now, announced that the GE Lighting Department, the Outdoor Lighting Department, and GE's Traffic Control Departments would move to Hendersonville from New York. And for the first time, this department, being relocated to Hendersonville, would be a complete autonomous unit, with its own management, its own marketing, even legal departments. Perhaps 500 or more jobs would be created. It was an all-day shebang. During the daytime, a Cherokee Indian by the name of Richard Crow had loped along from Cherokee, bearing a torch lighted from the Cherokee Eternal Flame, which Governor Luther Hodges and plant manager Byron Cherry would use to activate a photocell, which signaled groundbreaking machinery to begin excavating for the new plant. It was still the old A&H Airport in 1955, but it was much busier than normal that day, with U.S. Senator Sam Ervin and Congressman George Shuford flying in from Washington, Philip Reed, chairman of the board of GE, winging in from New York. And in the greatest triumph of Dave Cooley's young career, the interior of the old rock gymnasium had been transformed into a mighty convention hall, a mighty place with flags and buntings and huge signs and banners and a seating arrangement for more than 750 people to sit down to dinner. The dais itself was three levels up from the main floor. The top level was for outgoing President I.E. Johnson and incoming President Bevo Middleton, along with Senator Ervin and Chairman of the Board Reed. In studying pictures Jody Barber made of the event, the second level was for top state officials, and the level just off the floor was for state senators and members of the legislature. Until I saw this picture, I had forgotten that for this pretentious event, there was a small table seating only three people placed on the floor level to the right as you faced the speaker's platform. At this table were places for the child bride, Diane Cooley, Dave's wife, and myself. Dave was too busy with his master production to even think of having a place reserved for himself. And as I studied this picture, it suddenly dawned on me that for the only time in my life when emceeing a program, I did not see to sit at the head table. There simply wasn't room up there on the top level in that thin atmosphere for me to sit. So each time the MC was to be heard from, I just climbed a ladder up three tiers, and suddenly there would be my smiling face appearing from nowhere. Mrs. Calhoun Hipp of Greenville, South Carolina, the former Miss Jean Jones of Hendersonville. She had appeared in a number of Broadway shows, and she provided special entertainment accompanied by Miss Kate Dodson. I had calculated that this mass of very urbane individuals would best appreciate cunning little one-liners, like the likes of which Bob Newhart made famous. Boy, was that a mistake. After I dropped in a half dozen of these carefully prepared, ingenious bits of humor, and was greeted only by thunderous silence, it was panic time. I had nothing else prepared. So in the style of Minnie Pearl, I went back to pure corn, pure old corn I could remember, and all of a sudden was greeted by guffaws and leg-slapping laughter. And I learned then never, never, never try to anticipate any audience. As far as GE people are concerned, the first manager, Byron Cherry, didn't stay long. Since then, GE's brought to the area such fantastic people as Joe Bailey, Stanford Smith, Chuck Malone, Phil Milroy, and now Bill Vineyard. All of them major influences in the life of this community. And through the various management levels, GE people have been made heads of civic clubs, social clubs, churches, even politics. In a future program, we'll pick up after GE with some remembrances of the Henderson County Industrial Development Composition, that big corporation which brought many plants to this area. These memories of a seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.